Okay, Rabbi Yisai, this week is Parshas Shelach. Shelach Lecha Anoshim. It's all about Eretz Yisrael. This week, by the way, is also Shabbos Mevorchim. Mevorchim Chodesh Tammuz. Rosh Chodesh is on. No. Wednesday, Thursday, I think. Wednesday, what? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday. So it's not a, it's a special Shabbos, Shabbos Mevorchim. Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Tammuz, the Bein HaMitzarim, the Tukuf of the Bein HaMitzarim is around the corner. And this week we begin the Chavivos, the Hakdama, the Bein HaMitzarim is all about Eretz Yisrael. It's not a coincidence that the whole Parsha, the Parsha, the Haftorah of Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Tammuz is all focused on Eretz Yisrael. The beauty, the milos of Eretz Yisrael, as Yehoshua said, Toivo ha'aretz, me'oid, me'oid. The Ribbono Shel Olam only said that the earth is me'oid. Bereishis bor elokim es ha'shamayim v'es ha'aretz. Vayar elokim es kol asher asa. V'hinei, toiv me'oid, toiv me'oid. Yehoshua said, no, Ribbono Shel Olam. Toivo ha'aretz, me'oid, me'oid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man an opportunity to finish the job. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man without a bris milah, with the Arla, to order to give man an opportunity to be a partner with him in creation and in perfecting his body. Hashem gave man an opportunity to see that the world is not just Toiv Me'oid. The world is Toivo Ha'aretz. Me'oid, me'oid. Okay, the world is good as it is. Okay, everybody says it's a great world out there. A world of opportunity, a world of happiness, a world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But we can make it even better. You can make the world even better. Toivo ha'aretz, me'oid, me'oid. Hashem just said, toiv me'oid. This is the avoida of man in this world, to acknowledge the world is good without me, but I can make the world even better. That's probably the most important lesson of the parasha.
Why are you running to Mars now?
Why Mars? Good kash. Very good kash. To make Mars better. Very good.
Whenever it says Aretz, it means anything that we know about. Even Mars is considered
Aretz. Aretz, yeah. It's interesting. It's an idea. Interesting
whatever
idea.
We know about, it's considered Aretz.
Whatever we can see, very fascinating, interesting idea. Okay, now let's go further. Okay, now let me just start with the Vart quickly. The Vart from Rav Shimon Schwab. It's such a beautiful Vart from Shimon Schwab. He says something that is so fundamental, so yisoidistic. The parasha begins Shlach Lecha Anoshim. It's unfortunately that 10 of the 12 spies were nichshol. Were nichshol in the chait of lashon hara, and they paid for the sin with their lives. They all died a gruesome death. And Rashi, the first Rashi in this parasha, tells us, Lama nismecha parashas miraglim leparashas Miriam. At the end of parashas Bahalos, we look at Miriam, she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was poirish me'isha, she complained, how could Moshe do this? What kind of man are you to cause your wife agony, to be poirish from your wife? How could you do this, Moshe Rabbeinu? She complained, she spoke Lashon Hara. So the Miraglim, what happened to Miriam? Hashem came to Moshe's defense. And Hashem said, Miriam, how dare you speak about Moshe? B'chol beisi nemonhu. And the whole Klal Yisrael was aware of what happened. They had to wait for 14 days. They couldn't travel until Miriam was healed. Lefi shelokso al iske diba shedibra be'acheha. She spoke about her brother. Urishoyim halalu, the wicked Miraglim, 10 of the 12 Miraglim, Rashi minces no words, were wicked, were Rishoyim, Rohu, they saw what happened to Miriam, V'loy lakhu Musar, they did not learn the Chomer Hadavar of what happens when a person speaks Lashon Hara. What's the obvious kash? Only in the Esmius Kasha this week, Mai Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about a human being, about her brother, about the Gadol Hadar, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'leikam oid k'moshe. The Miraglim spoke about an object, the earth. Okay, it's Eretz Yisrael. It's the land. But it's not a human being. It's not a creature. It's not a boss of a dam. Has no at least from our perspective, you can say what you want to say. It's a living organism, but it's not. You can't compare. You can't compare speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, which is a very bad thing. Obviously, no one's coming to deny that saying harsh, nasty things about the gift that Hashem has given you. It's not a nice thing to do, but you can't put it in the same package as speaking Lashon Hara about a human being. So my high, what's going on over here? What's the comparison? Ad kdei kach, you say about them, they didn't take Musar? What's going on? They were Shom Halalu Rohu V'lelachu Musar? Ad kdei kach? So Shimon Shuav says an amazing, amazing yisoid. When we learn a lot about Lashon Hara, from the time we're in kindergarten, they teach us about Lashon Hara, there's really, the focus is only on one thing. When you speak Lashon Hara, what we're taught, and it's 100% true, is it's not good to speak Lashon Hara because you're causing someone else harm. It has nothing to do with you. If you want to commit suicide, go right ahead. Washington Bridge is right there. The problem with speaking Lashon Hara is don't throw someone else off the Washington Bridge.
Don't do it during rush hour.
Don't cause a traffic jam. Don't cause a traffic jam. Don't throw someone else off the bridge. Don't cause someone else pain. By speaking Lashon Hara, you've ruined a person's life. You've revealed private matters. It's no one's business. Just like as a person does not want his dirty laundry to be hanging in public, it's not for you to hang someone else's dirty laundry in public. It's none of your business. You're causing another person harm. So, Rav Shimon Schwab says, that's true. It's absolutely true. That's how we look at Lashon Hara. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, that was not an issue. Because the Pasuk says, the very next Pasuk, V'ho'ish Moshe onov me'oid mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama. Mo'ed and vadim, one bit. In fact, Chazal tells us that there's no the whole discussion, you speak Lashon Hara upon the dead, technically there's no violation. Because the dead don't care. They really, either they don't know, or they couldn't care less. It doesn't bother them one bit what you say about them when they're no longer in this world. It's hard for us to understand that. Okay, from our perspective, we don't.
The children may be harmed.
Oh, the children, that's true. That's very good, that's true. But the dead themselves, they really don't care. They really don't. What that means, I don't know. If you think about it, it's very hard to understand that. As you just said, because there's a lot more than just yourself. But Moshe Rabbeinu could not care less. He could not care less. No harm done. Water off a duck. They spoke, Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Moshe, oblivious to any harm that has come. So whatever, if this is what you want to say about me, the whole Klai Yisrael thing, something nasty about me, doesn't bother me. So why then did Hashem punish? So why then did Hashem punish Miriam? Why then did Hashem punish Miriam with tsaras? She did not cause Moshe Rabbeinu any harm. Shav Schwab says an incredible insight. They are tzvei dinim, like a brisk of art. They are tzvei dinim in Lashon Hara. Number one, two dinim, two different dimensions, two dimensions to Lashon Hara. Number one, the harm you've caused someone else. Number two, and I said in Yiddish, it's not fitting for you to talk like that.
Pasnisht.
It's not fitting. A Ben Torah, a Yoresh Shamayim, a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Even though there's no harm to that person, Hashem gave you the Koyach HaDibur. It's the first thing we learn about Main in the Bereishis. Vayihi HaAdam Vayipach B'Avav Nishmas Vayiyadim L'Nefesh Chaya the Targum L'Ruach Nemalullah. It's the gift of life to speak the Koyach HaDibur. You talk something nasty about someone else, even there's no harm. But from your perspective, is that what Hashem gave you the Koyach HaDibur for, to speak like this? Comes to Eretz Yisrael, no harm done. The earth bears no bad feelings if we say about the earth that there's too many rocks, the fruit is too big, the fruit is too small, this, that. The earth is not a human being from our perspective. Earth is earth. It's an inanimate object. It's a domain. It's not a chai. So if we speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, it's not nice. Let's not. We have to. Hashem's a matana. Hashem gave us a gift. You don't say something nasty about the gift that Hashem gave you. But there's no harm done to the earth. Doesn't matter. Pasnished. That's how you speak. Is that what Hashem gave you the koyach hadibur to speak nasty words about the earth? Forget about Hashem's gift. It's not the way you talk. It's not. It does not go well. It's not what you're all about. You have been given the Torah. You are a holy person. You're a holy nation. It's not the right thing. Therefore, the two parashios, they fit like a glove. Uvoish Moshe onav Moshe called Adam. Moshe was like a piece of a rock. Eretz Yisrael is earth. The Meraglim should have learned. Lashon Hara is not just about the victim. It's about the principle of pasnisht. It's not fitting for you as a Yoresh Shamayim to speak in such a manner. Likewise, the Meraglim, even though you're dealing with the earth, it's just not the way a Shomer Torah or Mitzvos goes about his life in speaking in such fashion.
That's not worthy of death alone.
What?
Is that worthy of their death? I'm just
questioning. Yes, it is. That's exactly. Hashem on their level, okay, on each his own on their level. Look, Lashon Hara, you're not Chayav Misa. You can ask a general question. Let's say they would have spoken real Lashon Hara. Chavetz Chaim will show you the Choladeus Lashon Hara. Are you Chayav Misa for Lashon Hara? For the real Lashon Hara, you Chayav Misa? Of course not. There's no Chayav Misa for Lashon Hara. It's a Lois Hasei. The worst you'll get is malch. It's probably not even that. It's a lav shame by ma'isa. Dibur and halach is not called a ma'isa. So there's no punishment of even malchus. So lois asay, where there's no punishment in this world. So why then did the Meraglim have to die? So even at real Lashon Hara, you don't die. And here they didn't speak the real Lashon Hara. They spoke about the earth Lashon Hara. And their madrega, whatever, that's a side question. Hashem punished them because he held them to a higher standard. They died a gruesome death. And the lesson that Rashi tells they should have learned from Miriam, there's an exact equivalence between the two. It's not about the victim. It's about your standards. Who are you? And that has a very big nafka mean in life, even to speak Lashon about a guy, to talk about the country, to talk about politicians, to talk about anything you talk about in life. Is it really necessary? Is it really necessary to speak and to make these type of comments? What's the purpose? Just gossip? So gossip is, even if there is no victim, even if it's well known, it's understood, it's not pasnished for you to go and engage in this activity of speaking in such a manner and describing the defects of every little thing in this world when there's nothing to gain from such activity. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Now, yeah.
I just want to say, when the spies went out, I mean, they were scouts. I mean, obviously, it could be a scouting mission about for conquest. They spoke about the bounty of the land.
Okay, you're
they
saying
were
good.
Apprehensive about the inhabitants. They were giants.
That's so right. That's correct.
Being the leaders, they were of the tribes that they didn't have the faith in what.
Correct. You're saying. Absolutely correct. There are hundreds of perushim of mefarshim, midrashim, mamari chazal, which show that their sin was microscopic. Their intent was good, and the Torah is super magnifying a very very minor imperfection for which they were held accountable for because of who they were. But you're right. There are many, many ideas.
That's why it's right after the story of Miriam to show you
also,
that every little word counts.
Every little bit counts. Okay, now let's go to another idea.
The Rav once said, Tzadikim, maybe she's an adopted.
The Chut HaSara.
The Chet of Moshe Aaron spoke to rock.
Hit the rock. These are very holy people. Holy people. We can't even fathom.
The Kavanah was not good. They wanted to remain in the Midbar.
Right, because they felt that okay, there are many, there are so many Pirushim. The common denominator is the Melamed Tzchus. Melamed Tzchus. There are so many Pirushim. It's not for now. It's not what I want to focus on. Absolutely. Okay, I want to go to another idea. Okay, now we're going to go to a new idea. Shlach Lecha Anoshim. Rashi focuses upon the word Lecha. Why does it say the word lecha? Shlach anoshim. What's the word lecha? Rashi says, Hashem was not pleased with this request to send spies to scout out the land. Hashem says, listen, I told you the land is good. I told you, I'm taking you out of Egypt to give you Eretz, Nachalei Moyim, Mayono Yisusohat. All the brachas. You don't trust me. You don't trust me. What's going on all of a sudden? Vayamei Na'am. You have to have spies to see what's going on. Before you go and you take possession, you want spies. What's going on here? Hashem was very disturbed. So Hashem says, listen, you have to deal with the customer. You have to satisfy your customers. You want to go? Go. But you should know lecha, ledatcha. Rashi, the second Rashi on the parasha. Shlach lecha, ledatcha. You want to go? Gezuntheit. Ani, eini mitzvah lecha. I'm not telling you to do this. In fact, I don't want you to do this. I would prefer that you have faith in me and just go. Go in 600,000 people strong. Go into the land. Don't worry about it. Have faith in me. You want to go and check it out first? See what's going on there? The spies? All right, listen, I'm not going to hold you back. But this is not for me. Im tirtze, you want? Shlach. Lefi shabo yishov yamru nishcha noshim lefonenu. Kamash nemar v'chulu v'chulu. Hashem says to him, Omar, I amarti lohem shitoiva. I told them, ani amarti lohem shitoiva. Shenemar, a'el eschem me'oni mitzrayim. And now you don't believe me? Okay, go, shlach lecha. The end's going to be, it's going to be no good. These people are going to pay with their lives. And the Jewish people are going to sit in the Mibah for 40 years as a result of your request. But listen, what could I do for you? You want to do it? Do it. Good. Question. This here is the first time Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a nation, is being introduced to the land. We've been told about it. Moshe says, we're leaving Mitzrayim, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, they heard about it from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Klal Yisrael now, they're on the brink, they're on the move, they're about to enter the first time. And they want spies. Hashem, do you want to go? No. Shlach lecha ledatcha. There's another individual who's also introduced to Eretz Yisrael for the first time. Who's that? Where it all started. Avraham Avinu. Avinu was not born in Eretz Yisrael, contrary to popular belief. He was not born in Eretz Yisrael. He was born in Bavel. He was born in Iraq, Iran, somewhere in that region over there in Iraq. And Aram Naharayim, that's where he was born. And one day Hashem appears to Avram and Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha, same exact words. The very beginning started with Avram Avinu, Shlach Lech Lecha. Here, Avram Avinu has been transformed into a nation. 600,000 men, 3 million people. Kabbalah Satorah, Nisim and Niflois, Amud Ha'on, Amud Ha'esh, and they're going into Eretz Yisrael. Same word, Lecha. By Avram it was Lech Lecha. Here it's Shlach Lecha. What does Rashi say in Parashas Lech Lecha? Lehanoscha ulitayvascha. For your benefit. In Iraq, I can't do much for you, Avram Avinu. In Eretz Yisrael, what I can do for you, you can't even begin to imagine. Lehanoscha ulitayvascha. Question. Why in Parashas Shalach does Rashi take the word lecha and downplay it? Not only downplay it, it's almost frightening what he says. Lecha ledatcha, I don't want this, it's not going to be good, the result's going to be the death of the Meraglim, Klai Yisrael is going to sit here for 40 years and they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. By Avram, lech lecha, lehanoscha ulitayvascha. Here I can't make you into a nation. But there I'll make you into a big nation. My high, what's the difference? So you'll tell me, al derech pshat, I'm not coming to argue, of course. There's a difference, because there it says lech before lecha, and here it says shalach. Okay, that's the obvious answer. Okay, make no mistake. I see what it says. There's lech lecha and shlach lecha. So therefore you have to attach the words according to the context of what comes before it. Right, okay, there's an obvious answer, Alderch Pshat. Obviously, the context is entirely different, which demands a different translation of the word. I want to suggest an idea. And to bring out this idea, I want to tell you a story. A story about the Rebbe Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, should live and be well, who is now the...
He was a student of my father.
I know him. He's now the executive emeritus first president, first vice president of the Orthodox Union emeritus. Okay, so he's been with the OU for probably at least 25 years already.
He took over after.
So he's been in the OU. He has different roles in the OU. Everyone knows who he is. He used to be a rav. He used to be a rav in Baltimore, and he's a psychiatrist. He has a PhD in psychology. He's a very wise man. He writes prolific in all the newspapers. He has some fantastic articles, ideas. The person of the parasha. He has a lot of very beautiful things. He's a very well-known person.
So,
no, he doesn't. They plagiarize. They take it from others, from books. They put it in the FJJ. Okay, Rabbi. Yeah. He said over the following story. If you type in his name, you type in Lubavitcher, it'll be the first result in Google. You can read it word for word. If you want to hear it online, you hear it online. Maybe many of you heard the story. This story made a very powerful impression upon me. It's probably my favorite Lubavitcher Rebbe story. The story goes as follows. He says, I'm telling you what it says. They go, don't trust me, go online. It's very easy to find the story. He says that in 1971, he was in his early 30s, I believe, and he had a PhD in psychology, and he also had smicha from RJJ. From RJJ, he had smicha. Maybe if my grandfather even came smicha, I don't know. And he was in Baltimore, and he says he was going through a crisis. What the crisis, I don't know, is spiritual crisis. That's what he says. It was 1971 when he grew up in Brooklyn, and he was familiar. He's not a Lubavitcher chas in any way whatsoever. In any way whatsoever. But he was familiar with Lubavitch because he lived, I guess he lived in, maybe he lived, doesn't really say he lived in Crown Heights.
Everybody
used to even go to the Fabrengs. He would pop in, put his head in to see what's for Stutzuchta, go in and would see what's going on. You know, it wasn't those days he was able to get in. 1971, you know, there was no security. You were able to get your way to the Rebbe whenever you wanted. So he was familiar with Lubavitch. So he was 1970, he was in Baltimore. He was going through a difficult time. At night, it was late at night, he calls up 770. He calls up the office of 770. I want to speak to the Rebbe. I want to speak. What do you want to speak about? I want to talk matters of emuna, betochan. I'm going through a hard time. I need chizuk. Like today, the key word is chizuk. Who are you? He didn't want to say his name. I'm a yid from Baltimore. I need help. I need some spiritual chizuk. I want to talk to the Rebbe. So the secretary says, one of the probably the famous people says, the Rebbe was actually in the room. The Rebbe even heard, was able to hear who's on the phone. So he says, the secretary says, the Rebbe, there's a person, a yid from Baltimore, who's seeking to speak to the Rebbe about inyane emuna, hashkafa, and chizuk. So the Rebbe says, Baltimore, tell the Yid that in Baltimore there's a person by the name of Rabbi Weinreb. He's a psychologist, and he's a Rav, he has smicha. The Yid should go to him to talk to him. This Rabbi Weinreb can help him. So the secretary goes to the phone and says, the Rebbe said, can't talk to you now. But instead, he instructs you to go to a yid, to a person in Baltimore. You're in Baltimore. His name is Weinreb. He's a psychologist, and he's a Rav. He's the perfect person you should talk to. He has the hashkafa. He has the expertise. He'll help you. So Rabbi Weinreb was in disbelief. So he says to the secretary, I'm Weinreb. I'm Weinreb. So the secretary was also shaken up. That's what it says there online. Was also shaken up. Secretary goes back and says to the Rebbe, it's Weinreb! It's Weinreb! So the Rebbe says, Ebazeh, it's Weinreb. I think he was famous in Adarabba v'Adarabba. Tell the Yid, tell Weinreb, he should talk to himself. Because in life, there are times a person has to talk to himself. Now, let's go back to our parasha. Shlach lecha. Lech lecha. Shlach lecha is lidatcha. Don't get me involved, Hashem says. This is not my business. I'm not making you my shliach. You're not my shliach. I'm not sending you. You want to go? Ledatecha. Do it yourself. Don't bother me. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, lech lecha. Lehanoscha ulitoivascha. These two perushim are two sides of one coin. In life, you have to have a Rebbe. You have to have parents. You have to have Rebbeim. You have to have Hadrocha. But there's a balance. There's a balance. Every person is also responsible for his own actions. And a person only leiv yodea moras nafsha. There are things in life only you can discover, you can understand only when you talk to yourself. The Rebbe can't do everything for you. Your parents can't do everything for you. In life, you have to experience it yourself. Understand, super analyze, psychoanalyze yourself. And with the guidance of your Rebbe and your parents, you have to make your own decisions. It has to be ledatcha. And when it will be ledatcha, it will also be lehanoscha, letoivoscha, ulehanoscha. The two lechas are two sides of one coin. Now, what happened? So that this is what happened. What happened over here? 12 people were told to do this. 12 miraglim were told, in life, you have to talk to yourself sometimes. Lehanoscha, but only two of them succeeded. The other 10 failed miserably. Why did only two succeed? It's because there are only two which had the right balance. Yehoshua and Kalev. What did Kalev do when he came to Eretz Yisrael? Where did he go? Vayavoy ad Chevron. Where to be mispalel in the Ma'oras HaMachtela, the others. He connected the shlach lecha, ledatcha, ulehanoscha. He connected it to the avos, to the Messiah. When the day is over, you're making your decision. Ledatcha, ulehanoscha. But you have to, that cannot be in by itself. There has to be a contribution. The contribution is you have to shtelzach to the avos, to the Messiah. Who else survived? Yehoshua. How did he survive? Because before he left, Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a bracha, Ka Yoshiacha me'atzas miraglim. Moshe, Yeshua, had a Rebbe, had a teacher. It's a winning combination. In order to succeed, there in times of life, that's right, ledatecha, ledatecha, ulehanosecha. Ledatecha ulehanosecha. No question about it. But it's only going to work if you shtelzach, you connect yourself to the others, and you connect yourself to your rabbein, to the people who made you who you are, to your teachers. Yehoshua and Kalev succeeded, whereas all the other miraglim failed miserably, because it was only Yehoshua and Kalev had Chevron, the others, and Yoshua, they worked as a team. Yoshua had Moshe Rabbeinu. When you have a strong connection to your Rebbe, a strong connection to your Messiah, and now in life you have difficult situations, of course, you have now the background, you have the foundation of a Rebbe, out of the foundation of the Avos, but sometimes in life, it has to be ledatecha letoivoscha. You have to figure out your own path. You have to make your own way, and when you make your own way, that will give you the ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate pleasure. It will bring about the greatest kavod shamayim. Now, I'll go further. I should tell you things that I shouldn't really be telling you, but I'll tell you this anyway. You know, in Lubavitch, the greatest kavod you can get is to be a shliach for the Rebbe. Isn't that not so? If the Rebbe appoints you to be a shliach, right? Isn't that we all know? We all know. You have a Chabad house. They're all appointed. The Rebbe taught, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, Zol Zayin Besun Shtar, taught him that there's even a greater prize than being a shliach of a Rebbe, of the Rebbe. The greatest prize in life is to be shlach l'cha. Shlach is lashon shlichus. Right? Chabad is all about shlichus. Shlichus for the Rebbe. Shlach l'cha. The Rebbe taught Zvi Hirsch Weinreb, the greatest shlichus you can get is not to go to Las Vegas, not to go to India, to go to New Zealand, to go to Greenland. The greatest shlichus is shlach l'cha lehanoscha ulitoivascha. Last night, someone I know very well was asked to speak at a reception in a Chabad yeshiva. In a Chabad yeshiva, and they asked me to help them with the drasha. And everything I just told you now was the drasha. Was the drasha. Less than 24 hours ago. And after the drasha was over, a person came over to that person and said, this drasha, this idea, this Chabad person is more Chabad than Chabad. Is more, and they never felt, the words were, they never felt more inspired by the Rebbe than what they just heard. So halavai should be a suchus me, the Rebbe should be meichel me for all the jokes I make. Okay, let's go further. What? Alright, whatever. Okay, whatever it is, what it is. Let's now go on to another idea. Where's my paper? My notes. Okay, I lost my notes. Let's figure out. Okay, let's see. Let's go to another idea. Let's jump ahead to this idea. I want to give before we run out of time this idea. Let me read to you Musaf of Shabbos. You tell me what these words mean. You say this every single Shabbos. You begin Shabbos. Tikanta Shabbos. This is how we begin the Musaf. Tikanta Shabbos. You have established the Shabbos, Hashem. Rotzisa Karban Osech. I have here the article sitter. Okay. You have found favor in its offerings. On Shabbos, we bring a special musaf. Tzivisa peirushecha. What do those words mean? Anyone want to guess? You have commanded peirushecha. Here in the art scroll, it says, instructed, found favor in its offerings, instructed regarding its commentaries. Commentaries. Let's go for one more word, two more words. In, together with Sidurei, the arrangement, Nisocheha, the art scroll, along with the order of its showbreads, the Lechem Haponim. So they're translating the word Nisocheha as the Lechem Haponim, and they're translating the word Sidurei means the order. They're translating the word Peirushecha, the commentaries, the commentators, who give all the various understandings of what Shabbos is all about. That's what it says in the article. I'm not making this up. Now look at that. Over here, they have notes. Let me read you the notes. Tzivisa peirusheha. You instructed regarding its commentaries, the numerous and complex laws of Shabbos labor are not clear from the verses. Okay, are not clear from the verses of the Torah. The numerous and complex laws of Shabbos labor are not clear from the verses of the Torah. We know them because God instructed Moses regarding its commentaries. So then we only know all of the Lamites Melachas, all the numerous complex laws of Shabbos, only because Moshe Rabbeinu, he instructed regarding its commentaries, meaning that Hashem taught Moses how the scriptural verses should be understood and interpreted. So the laws of Shabbos and the Torah are very not clear, it's very abstract, and only because we have the Torah Shebal Peh that explains the meaning of the Pesukim do we know how to observe the Shabbos. The Perushecha means the explanation of the words. It says the Shabbos multiple times in the Torah, and only way we know what the words of those Pesukim mean is because Moshe, through the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, has transmitted to Klal Yisrael the Perush of the Pesukim. Next words of the Arat Scroll, the order of its showbreads. Why is the word Nisachecha? Although the literal translation would seem to be drink offerings, many commentators interpret this to refer to the 12 showbreads, which had to be set up in the sanctuary every Sabbath. This is logical because the showbread service, not the drinking offerings, was performed only on the Shabbos, only on the Sabbath. That's not really true. I mean, it's unique. What was unique to Shabbos is the showbread. So we say the word Nisachecha, I don't really understand. I mean, this art scroll, listen, Mipiyam Anu Chayim. Now I can argue with an art scroll. You can put a tag on me, a product of art scroll. I would not mind, okay? I'm not coming to argue on art scroll. Chas Hashem to say anything bad about art scroll because I'm a product of art scroll. And obviously, this is the Pshuta Shel Mikra. They're not saying this on their own. This is how the Mefarshim learn. The word Nisachecha refers to the Lechem upon it. Even though the word Nisachecha they acknowledge would seem to refer to the Nisachecha. Yeah. Now, therefore, with that in mind, let's go and learn the parasha. This week's parasha, we learn about the mitzvah of nisachim. So in this week's parasha, after the sides, we have tzitzis and we have the meraglim. It's stuck in the middle. We have a very important parasha teaching you that whenever a person brings a carbon, whatever carbon you bring, the carbon must be accompanied by yayin, wine. You have to take wine, and depending upon the animal, if it's a keves, if it's an ayil, if it's a par, you bring a different amount of wine, and the wine is poured upon the mizbech, on the top of the mizbech. There are two, there's on the corner. On the corner, on the southwest corner, there are two holes, and the wine is poured in one of those holes. One hole is for wine, one hole is for the water, the nisuch hamayim. You pour water down this hole, and the water goes all the way down to the sheets. And every single carbon in the Beis HaMikdash was accompanied with a mincha, a meal offering, and the pouring of wine. Now, in addition to bringing wine with every single carbon, there's also another time when you bring wine, if a person wishes to bring wine. If I want just to bring to Hashem an offering of wine, the halacha is you bring the wine and the Kohen goes on to the Mizbeach and he pours the wine on the Mizbeach. Now there's a very important word that's written in this parasha. And after the Torah tells us these few words about the Nisachim, it says, the Yayin Lanesach, it goes on all the various words, Behikri Ben Abakar, Pasig Zayin, Pasig Zayin, I don't think that's really the first word, Chisas, Ben Abakar, Lashev, Hikri, Yayin, Takriv, Lanesach, Tzehin, Kocho Yeoseh, Kamispar Asher Tasu Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel is critical to understanding what Nisachim is all about. Kol Ha'ezroch Yaseh Kocha Eseila. That's a very unusual word. Every citizen of the state shall do what we just learned above, the laws of Nisachim. Chazal take this word and they tell us it's coming to exclude a non-Jew. And this is before the time, we're dealing over here before the time of Yayin Nesach. Okay? We're not dealing over here with Stam Yen. Bezman Hazeh, we have Stam Yenim, Yayin Nesach. We're not dealing with that. We're dealing over here at the time of the Torah. A guy, a Gentile, is excluded from the parasha of Nisachim. Now, what that means exactly is complex, because when a guy brings a carbon, it must be accompanied by wine, but not his wine. By our wine. From the Tzibur. When a person brings a private carbon, you pay for your wine. It's your wine. When a guy brings a cup, we don't want your wine. Not because your wine is Yayin Nesach. Again, this is before the time of all the chumras of Yayin Nesach, Stam Yainam. We're not dealing with that. When a guy brings a carbon into the Beis HaMikdash, which is allowed to, a guy, ki beisi beis tefilo l'chol ha'amin. A guy brings a carbon oila. When the guy brings the oila, we don't want your wine. We'll bring the wine, the tzibur will pay for the wine.
Well, it's not because of Yayin Nesach, so why?
Oh. That's exactly the point. The Torah does not want yayin from a guy. And if a guy decides just to bring yayin alone, I want to give a donation of yayin to the Beis HaMikdash to be poured on the Mizbeach. I'm sorry, sir, we don't accept it. It says in the Torah, kol ha'ezrach. The word ha'ezrach severely curtails the ability of a guy to bring wine. Not totally, but 95%. You have to look at the Mefarshim, what the halachas are. But kol ha'ezrach removes a non-Jew from the mitzvah of Yayin. Obviously, there's something about Yayin, and we're not dealing with Avodah Zarah now. This is not a matter of Avodah Zarah that Hashem does not want a guy to have a chelek in. And simply, without going, it's not my main point, the simile is Yayin represents the Tanuge Olam Hazeh. The Nazir is of last week's parish, he's a Pirish. When he's Pirish, the Nazir is Pirish Miyayin. It represents the Tanuge Olam Hazeh. When they went this week in Eretz Yisrael, Parish HaShlach, what did they bring back? They brought back Eshkol Anovim. They brought back a cluster of grapes. They went to see the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, the Gashmias of Eretz Yisrael. They brought back the Gashmias. What does Yayin represent? It represents what the world has to offer. Benefit, pleasure, Hanoh in this world. Hashem does not appreciate the way a non-Jew enjoys this world. Klal Yisrael, they know how to enjoy this world. Hashemayim, Shemayim, LaHashem, Yeretz, Nassan, Levnei Adam. But it says, LaHashem, Eretz, Meloa, you have to make a bracha before you enjoy this world. Every pleasure in this world has to be devoted, has to be channeled to the service of Hashem. Only Klal Yisrael knows how to do that. Not a goy, not in the right way. Therefore, Hashem, for Klal Yisrael, you bring Yayin. A goy, I don't want your Yayin. Goyim are out of the box. They have no shaychus in this instance. Shabbos Kodesh is one of the things that a goy has no shaychus to. Ki ois hi beini uveinechem. Shabbos is a sign between us and Klal Yisrael. Nothing other than us and Klal Yisrael. What else do we know? What else does we say in that? You did not give Shabbos to the nations of the world. A goy sheshavas chayiv misa. What do you have shalacha? If a goy puts on tzitz, is he chayiv misa? A goy puts on tefillin, is he chayiv misa? No such thing. Goy can do any mitzvah that he wants. We don't want him to do it. It's not a good thing. Chayiv misa? No such thing as chayiv misa. Goy sheshavas. You have no connection to Shabbos. And a guy here, the Torah explicitly says to a guy, you're out. You have no connection to Shabbos.
He's a thief.
It's no coincidence that Shabbos begins and ends with wine. Kiddush is with Yayin. Havdalah is with Yayin. The Sud in the morning is with Yayin. If you ever go to Chassidus or Shalosh Shuddus, you make Kiddush by Shalosh Shuddus also. It's a beautiful thing. What? You make, that is the Kiddush. That's the Kiddush. In the middle of the Seudah, part of the Nusach, in the middle of the Seudah, you ever go to Chassidus Shalosh Shuddus, Yemil, Baruchat, you make a Bari Priya Gofen. That is Kiddush. Oh, okay, that's true, right. Yayin, Shabbos, all about wine. All three meals are Yayin. Okay, the Kiddush at night, Kiddush by day, and even by many, by Chassidim, you make Kiddush in the middle of the Seudah, by Shalosh, you make a Bari Priya Gofen, and that is the Kiddush. And Kiddush, the ushers the Shabbos in. Yayin, the Shabbos leaves. Why is Chazal obsessed with Yayin for Shabbos? Why? Why did Chazal put four cups of wine? There are four cups of wine on Shabbos. The three meals and Avdallah. So much, it's a lot of money. Dalek Kaisais. You only have Dalek Kaisais on Pesach. You have Dalek Kaisais every Shabbos. They're Dalek Kaisais. You're Tseisavi, Salti, Vigalti, Vilakachti. Zechali, Tseis, Mitzrayim. No, isn't that what Shabbos is saying in the Kiddush? Zechli Yitzias Mitzrayim. If you had say Svit Salti Vigalti Vilakachti, Lekayim for Kois, by Friday night you should say, L'Shem Yichud Kutsh Rechu, L'Kois Rishoyin, K'neged V'yotzeisi. When you get to Avdallah, you should say L'Shem Yichud, K'neged V'yotzeisi Vilakachti. Okay, don't do that. You'll get into a lot of trouble if you do that, but I'm telling you some good ideas here. Therefore, Koisais. Why Shabbos? Because Shabbos is about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yayin, because Yayin is something that's miyuchid to Klal Yisrael. A guy is not shayach in Yayin. Ho ezrach, kol ho ezrach yaseh kocha es eila. When you take wine to the Mizbeach, no goyim. I don't want a guy bringing wine to the Mizbeach because a guy is not shayach in Yayin. He doesn't understand what Yayin is all about. He doesn't understand how to benefit from this world. Shabbos is oinik. Shabbos, it fits very well in the theme of Shabbos. A guy doesn't understand what Yayin is about. Kol ho ezrach bi yaseh kocha esela. But not a non-Jew. Now let's go to the next step. Next step. We discussed this week. Beautiful medrash. Very cool. We spent a whole hour, 45 minutes on this. Is that the mekoshesh, the mitzvah of tzitzis? Where does it come that we have a mitzvah of tzitzis? So we will mention the Medrash. The Medrash says, because Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Hashem, don't blame the Mekoshesh for the Mechal Shabbos. It's not his fault. It's your fault, Hashem. Because you told us that on Shabbos we should not wear tefillin. Shabbos is an ois. And if Shabbos is an ois, you don't need to wear tefillin. So the Mekoshesh, he lost his sensitivity to Avodas Hashem. He wasn't wearing tefillin. And until it says, Laman tia toiras Hashem b'ficha. So Shabbos, there's no shmira. There's no shmira. So little by little, he lost his sensitivity to Kedusha Shabbos. One thing led to another. Ultimately, he was Mechal Shabbos. So Hashem said to Moshe, you're right. We have to do something that on Shabbos, the person will remember all of the mitzvahs of Hashem. There should be also a geder of Laman tia toiras Hashem b'ficha. I'm giving you the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's interesting that tzitzis is kol mitzvahs. Shabbos also kol mitzvahs. A mechalal Shabbos is a mumur l'chol ha-Torah kula. But if a person is a mumur for any one of the mitzvahs, halacha l'maaseh l'paskal, you're not a mumur. Shabbos is everything. Shabbos is keneged kol ha-Torah kula. Tzitzis, ure'isem also zechartem es kol mitzvahs Hashem. They go together. The ikur mitzvah of tzitzis, according to the Medrash, was Shabbos. This is the ikur mitzvah of tzitzis. It was to compensate for the absence of tefillin. During the week you wear tefillin, and on Shabbos you wear tzitzis. During the week you remember Hashem through Lamantia, Taras Hashem Beficha, and on Shabbos the way you remember Hashem is through the big day Shabbos. The Talmud is the big day Shabbos, you look at the tzitzis. Halacha l'mayis, that's a medrash. Halacha l'mayis, so we wear tzitzis, of course, the whole week. We expand to the whole week. But me'ikar hadin, the way the medrash explains how it evolved, is tefillin is for the week. Tzitzis is miyuchid for Shabbos. And we spent some time this week showing this idea. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, we spent some time on this. What? Big day Shabbos. The ikar big day Shabbos. Now, let me read you one more line, and then we're going to come back and we're going to retranslate Tikkun Shabbos. Let's go back. Let's go to the. Everyone ever say this? L'shem Yichud when you put on the talus?
Sure.
Say L'shem Yichud. You put on the talus in the morning. Atifas Atalus, Baruch Hinafshi. Then you say Hoid Vohodor Lavoshta, Oite Or Kasalma, Noite Hashem Kayuria. And in the L'shem Yichud, you say these very mystical words. V'alide mitzvahs tzitzis, tinatzel nafshi, v'ruchi v'nishmasi u'sefilasi min hachitzaynim, v'atalis, and the talis yifrois, may it spread out kinafav, its wings, which means the corner. The corner is where the tzitzis are. It's a play on the word. It's a beautiful poetic expression. Everyone says it every day, I'm sure. V'atalis yifrois, it spreads out kinafav aleihem, the Yatzileim, it will save them. Kalkinesher Yoyer Kinoi Al Goy Zalov Yerachef. Beautiful expressions describing the talus spreading out its wings upon us to envelop us in the mitzvah of tzitzis. And indeed, Yishno Chassidim, the real of some Chassidim, my jaw dropped. I never saw this before, and I haven't seen it in a very long time. They wear talis Friday night. Some people, very few. But there are groups of Chassidim. What?
Yeah.
Rebbes. Not Rebbes, even Kehillos.
Karlin? Yeah.
Friday night, Kabbalah Shabbos, you put on your Shabbos talis. And by these Chassidim who do this, those talis, they're not just Tama. Your Litvisha Talesis, they have this fancy, massive Atara. And then in the middle of the Talas, another Atara, and they have the Turkish wool, you name it, they go to town. And they come in there Friday night, there's one to Simcha locally, where one of the local people was Meshadich with someone, Rabbi Frankel, the Alapola. So he doesn't wear a talis Friday night, but I think one of his children made a shidduch, was with one of these groups of Hasidim who they wear a talis. So I walk in there to the shul Friday night, and the whole shul was taken over by it was the ufruf, and all of the mechutanims, the mechudin and his family, they came down, they took over the shul, they came down in big numbers. I walk in Friday night, I didn't know where I was. I never saw in my life someone wear a talis Friday night, and I walk into shul, and the whole place, everyone's wearing not just a talis, these are gorgeous talisos with this massive attar. I never saw something like this. And you know, with the chassidic clothing, with the white socks, and the whole 9 yards. Where am I? What happened? I woke up. Where did I wake up over here? Why? Where does it come from? Where does it come from? It's definitely rooted to some degree. Is this medrash? Is that the talis is the big day Shabbos? Hashem said to Moshe, "There's no tefillin. So what do you expect from the Mekoshesh? He has no shmira." You're right. I'm giving you a talis. I'm giving you dabril b'nei yisov yamartalim yosulim tzitzis al kanfei bigdayim. That's right. Mimela, what's so bad if you wear a talis Friday night? You don't make a bracha, maybe even to put on early. Whatever you do. You figure out the halacha. Early before, right? Probably everybody's come late, whatever. So you do what you do. You wear it. It's big day Shabbos. Big day Shabbos. You wear it Friday night also. Okay? Right. Now, with that in mind, let's now go back and retranslate the words of the Muslim art scroll. I have the biggest cover to art scroll, and I have no doubt they're taking it from the basic commentators on the parish of these very holy words that we say every single day, every single Shabbos. Tikanta Shabbos, Ratzisa Karbonosela. You, Hashem, have established the Shabbos. Ratzisa Karbonosela. You have Rotson. We bring on this Shabbos Karbonos. Uviyoim HaShabbos, Shnei Chivosim B'nei Shonos Simimim. We bring special Karbonos. What else do we know about Shabbos? What's the next thing we say about Shabbos? Tzivisa, you have given us the command, Pei Rusheha, to spread out the talis, to dress on Shabbos, big day Shabbos. You gave us the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Lemar daber el b'nei yisrael v'markalem v'yosulohem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdehem l'doi roysam. What does the measure say? This is big day Shabbos. What is the talis called? In the l'shem yichud, before you put the talis on. What do you say about the talis? V'hatalis yifrois. The same word. Yifrois kinafav. You have created Shabbos. You gave us korbanos. You told us how to conduct ourselves on Shabbos by wearing a big day Shabbos. And you know what else you gave us? Im sidure nisocheha. You gave us yayin. Kol ha'ezroch ya'ase kocha. Only a citizen of Klal Yisrael. It's ois hi beini uveinechem. You know how we pick the Nesachim? We don't pick the Mincha. We don't pick anything else. Because Nesachim is miyuchid for Klal Yisrael. Kol ha'ezrach. You have the arrangement of the Nesachim. It's oishi beinu veinechem. It's private between you and us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All this is parasha. Okay, this is this parasha. From this week's parasha, we have a whole new taich. Shuta shel mikra. Every Shabbos you say these words. It fits like a glove. No, it fits. It fits into the words of the Musaf. Tzivisa perushecha. You command that we spread out the big day Shabbos upon us. Im sidurei nesochecha. We bring on Shabbos, there are nesochim. And this, because Shabbos is all about oisi beini veinechem. And so we have nesochim on Shabbos. You bring the korbanos on Shabbos with nesochim. And by extension, we have other nesochim. The Dalit Kaisais. The Kiddush Avdallah and the other two meals. Chassidim, they go to town. They really get it right. They have the Dalit Kaisais, Shalosh Shus, you also make a Bar Priya Gofen. So it's an appreciation of Nukshat, Pshuta Shel Mikra, how to read these words. Okay, we have another 3 minutes, so let me tell you one more Vart. One more short Vart. What went wrong with the Meraglim? What went wrong? There's so many perushim. The farshim. What exactly? Where did they go wrong? What happened? I came across something which made an impression upon me, which I want to expand upon. Where did I see this? I have no recollection of where I saw this. Running through different things, it's not exactly what it says anyway, so it's okay. So I just want to elaborate. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Meraglim, "Ulekachtem mipri haaretz. Go shlach lecha lecha lehanoscha l'tevascha." And take the peres. Ulekachtem, gezuntehet. Ulekachtem mipriarets. They go, and they listen. They take a big cluster of grapes, a fig, what else, a te'ena, and an olive, one takes an olive, one takes a fig, and the other eight people, they put on their shoulders, they carry this massive cluster of grapes, and they haul it back to Eretz Yisrael. They bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. They come back, and Moshe says to them, "Fools, when I said to you, Ulekachtem mipri ha'aretz, I didn't mean you should take it and bring it back. I meant you should take it and eat it. Eat it. Go to Eretz Yisrael, Ulekachtem, take, go to the market, or go to the field, take a fruit in your hand, and you make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Barei Pri Ho'etz, and you'll make an Al HaMichya, and you'll be able to say the Al Peiroi Seha, you won't have to say Al HaPeiros, you'll be able to say Al HaPeiroi Seha. When I said Ulekachtem, I didn't mean to take it home with you. Eat it. Veer. That's where they went wrong. And what did they do? What did they do when they took their pears? They said, look, they said to Klal Yisrael, what a crazy country. Abnormal pears. This is not normal. Such large, massive size pears. We can't live in this country. It's abnormal. It's too big. We can't even cultivate the land. We can't deal with this. It's abnormal. You know what this reminded me of? This week was the Israeli Day Parade. It's very nice. Baruch Hashem, any complaints from me, Rabbis? No complaints. But after it was over, people sent out, they sent out WhatsApp. I got from a few people the same thing, this video, this in Times Square, in honor of the 70th year of State of Israel. It's a beautiful video. There's incredible technology like you've never seen before. They showed a kaleidoscope of Eretz Yisrael. And they showed the beaches. And they showed the technology. And they showed what else? The bicycle, the all the athletics, sports. And they showed the mosques. And they showed the churches. And the Kosel also, you know, you have to be fair also. The Kosel was also shown in a few moments. A land of faith. Okay, very nice. You know what that is? Showing, so if, yeah, I'm not complaining. Baruch Hashem, listen, I'm not saying, I don't mean anything bad. That's the mistake. There's no way you can, what they've done is, ulekachtem mipri haaretz. They've gone to Eretz with a filming crew, and they've taken the peros of the land, and they brought it to show you. Let me show you what it is. When you look at the choymer, you missed the whole point. The only way you can appreciate Eretz Yisrael is to experience it. Hashem said, Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, go to Eretz Yisrael, leave your camera home. Don't take with you your smartphone. Leave it home. No pictures. The pictures does not tell the story. Adarava, the pictures ruin it. A picture's worth 1,000 words? Sometimes. But it can also give you the wrong perspective. The only way the nature of the Holy Land is such, the only way you can really appreciate the land is if you experience it. If you eat the peros, you go to Eretz Yisrael and you eat the peros, which is symbolic of saying, Meraglim ulekachtem mipri haaretz. What you should have done is you should have gone and sat down in Brisk, in Chevron, in Mir Yeshiva. You should sit down and learn. Go to the Shtiblach. Go experience the spirituality. Experience things that you can't bring back. To take pictures and bring it back, that's not what it's about. Adarabba, you're going to ruin it. There's no way to properly convey the essence of what Eretz Yisrael is. That's where they went wrong. Yeshua v'Kolev, they didn't bring anything back. They came back empty-handed. No souvenirs. Not even a little thing from an IDF soldier. Nothing. They came back. Nothing. Empty-handed. No souvenirs, no t-shirts, nothing. What do they have there? The experience. Especially Kalev. He went to the Aris Machpelah. He experienced the Kedushas Haaretz. Toivo Haaretz, Me'oid Me'oid. They experienced it. The Meraglim, they didn't go for the experience. They went to take pictures. They came back with pictures. And the pictures don't do anything for you. The pictures don't tell the story. They don't bring out what the Kedushas. So what do you expect when Klal Yisrael sees the pictures and they see Eretz Yisrael? No, we rather stay in the Midbar. There's better food, there are better athletics, there are better things in other parts of the world. That's not what it's all about. It's about something that's not tangible. This is the Kedushas Eretz, it's the experience. Have a wonderful Shabbos.